Turn with me there this evening, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me read 4 or 5 verses, beginning at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is in heaven. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Well, Paul said that he knew some things. He uses in the plural sense here, we know, but in other places Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know. Another place he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content. I believe that you learn some things, and the things that you learn, you know. And the things that you know ultimately comes by revelation. The apostle here, speaking of himself, just over there in the next book, he says in Galatians chapter 1, he said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. That is, I didn't go and sit at the feet of Peter and John and James and Andrew and Bartholomew and the rest of the apostles and pick up on what they said and formulated that into a scheme that I present from place to place. He said, that's not how it come about. As a matter of fact, he said, I'm not even an apostle that way. He said, I'm not an apostle by the authority of men or according to some system, but he said, Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So he says, now, but I certify you, brethren. That certify, in a sense, is a guarantee. It's like I say, well, listen, now, if I sell you that Lincoln out there for $2,500 or $3,000, I guarantee it. That means anything happens to it, bring it back. Well, I'm not dumb enough to make them kind of proposals. I've learned off of Dick anything about them guarantees. But that's about what he's saying here. I certify, I guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now, Paul learned some things and knew some things, but it all came by revelation. But humanly speaking, what you know is what you learn. And what you learn, you have confidence in, and that's what you're able to enjoy. See? Once you learn what the truth is, it'll come by revelation. It'll come by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And when it comes that way, you learn it, You hear the preachers preach, they once say you need to learn the gospel. You know what they're talking about? Not that you can take a book and open the book up and there's a formula or a plan or a system, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the end of the fifth point, then you've come up with the sum total of it. That's not what they're talking about. It's through the hearing of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what you learn, what you know, it comes by revelation. You have confidence in. This man had great confidence. He said, I know. Here he says, I certify, I guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after my head. I didn't get it secondhand. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Well, how'd you come to know it? But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He revealed it to me. I learned it. I know it. And I enjoy it in my heart. And another fact, he said, I don't even count my own life dear for me, in the gospel's sake. He said, there's nothing that I count dear in light of this. This is more important than anything else in the world. It's more important. Well, he sold out to Christ. He was like a horse that had blinders on. He couldn't see anything except what was in between. It was Christ and Christ alone. That's all he talked about. That's all he preached. Why? Because of the importance of who Christ is and what he did. Especially, Paul said, what he did for me. He gave himself for me. And that overwhelmed this fellow. He couldn't get over it. All of his life he couldn't get over that the fact that Jesus, that God Almighty become a man, and as a man, this man gave all that he was as a man in my place, dead room, and paid the judgment that was due me against my sins, and clothed me in all of his acceptability, and seated me on God's right hand in his acceptability. He couldn't get over that. He learned that. I learned that. I've learned that in these 40 years. And brethren, since I learned it and know it, I enjoy it. And enjoying it is worship. When you enjoy this in your heart, that's what worship is. See? Worship God. Worship is not in standing up and sitting down and following the outline. Worship comes, springs. It springs from a man's heart. That's where it's at. Well, isn't this what he said? Well, he said, you've heard about me. You heard of my past conversation, my life in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He said, I didn't leave any stone unturned to shut this man Jesus up. He said, I'm going to shut him up or die trying. He said, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals. Of my own nation. He said, if these fellows thought they was religious, I was far more religious than they was. He said, if they thought they had a righteousness, he said, they ought to talk to me. I had one. Well, listen, he said, I was exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers, but, when it pleased God, he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. To do what? To reveal. His Son in me, and to me, and with me, that I might preach him immediately among the immediately. I conferred not with flesh and blood. I didn't go back here and ask the bishops, the preachers, those in the high places, these fellows, you know, that have the itinerary. You see, these fellows got it in their bulletins. They have an itinerary. I read that once in a while. I'll be in Baltimore so-and-so. I'll be in Texas next week, and I'll be here, and I'll be there. Got enough. Even go into them fellows and say, now, is it all right with you? Now, I conferred not with flesh, but I've learned. It's been revealed to me, and I got to preach it. So he says down here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, For I know, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he said, we have a building of God, a house. not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Ah. Well, let me just say a few things, and then I'll get back here to this first verse. He learned, Paul learned. His reason to be able to say these things, very confident. Notice up in verse 6. He said, therefore, we are always confident. That's what he's saying when we know. He has confidence. The only way you can have any confidence is in the Word of God. The only warrant for faith, the only reason, listen to me, the only reason for faith is the Word of God. The warrant of faith is the Word of God. Whatever you believe, it's because of the Bible. Okay? Word of God. Well, he says, therefore we are always confident. For we know, what is it you know, Paul? Oh, he said, I know several things. Well, what is it? Well, what's one of them? Well, he said, I know that we, if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, he said, I have a building of God. I know that. And the word of mine on that's Word of God and revelation. God hath revealed this to my spirit by the Word. All right? Now, we're always confident. Therefore, we're always confident. I'm always confident. I'm not jittery, walking on thin ice, walking on a tight rope all the time. Don't know, perplexed, in despair, felt like I'm cast down. I'm not like that. He said, I'm always confident. Always confident. See? He wasn't confident in the flesh. He said, I have no confidence in the flesh. But he's always confident in him whom to know is eternal life. He's always confident in God who cannot lie, who's immutable and unchangeable, who promised this fella eternal life before the world ever was. Okay? Confident. I know, I'm confident. That's what he's talking about. He said we're always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, in this tent, in this tabernacle, in this frail, weak package, he said, knowing while we're at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. Now he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're confident, he said. Again, I know. I've learned. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, willing to die. Why? Well, to die is to be present with the Lord. Whether we labor whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. All right, now listen, he learned. How did he come to grasp these things? I'll tell you. He learned to live beyond this present circumstance, beyond his present circumstances, which worry and disturb. Present circumstances worry, distress, detract, and disturb us, and cause us to fret, and be frightful, and be afraid. These things. When I'm going to get my next paycheck. How's my children doing? One of my boys making passing grades there in the college. Cost me $2,000 to send him there for the first semester. I wonder if we worry whether we're going to be able to make the house payment and this and that. Now, he learned to live beyond his present circumstances which worry and disturb. He learned to enter into possession of the reality of eternity. That's the reason he said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. He looked not on the things which are seen, and by this means he had a joyful peace. And this peace made him confident, made him strong, made him resolute, made him steadfast, and made him unmovable. He could say, over there in Philippians 1, you told me about that verse, confident in this one thing, that if God hath begun a good work, he'll complete it. He'll finish it. That's what in the margin of that says, that it means that he'll finish the work. If he started the work, he'll accomplish it. He'll fulfill his purpose. He'll finish that work. He's always confident. This means Paul had a joyful peace. And that made him strong, resolute, steadfast, unmovable. He had learned about this inward man that is renewed day by day. And he knew the outward man perished, but he learned these things. See, so he had a lot of confidence. Know some things. God taught him some things. He enjoyed these things, and he worshiped God in the enjoyment of them. In the enjoyment of these things, we worship God. Listen, we're apt to live in the immediate present, which is revealed to us by senses. The beasts of the field, they have no thoughts upward or beyond. They lay in the mud and lie in muddy water or eat the green pastures of the field because that is their all in all. And the masses of men of our day and in days gone by are imprisoned, shut up in prison within the circumstances of their day. And they cannot rise beyond these circumstances. They are imprisoned, and they're not able to say the things that this dear brother said, who said we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, if in the good name of Almighty God, and by the grace of this good God in heaven, if we could be delivered from the things seen and from the things felt, and could feel the influence of the invisible and the eternal, then we might enjoy more of heaven here on earth before we actually get there. Some religionists are deliriously happy. Do you see on the television how happy they are? Do you see them waving their hands and taking their scarves and their shawls, and they wave them, and they stand and clap, and they have this angelic look on their countenance. They look so sweet and so pure as they look at the congregation and at particular the camera. And they look so good, and they're so pure, and they're so holy, and so happy. Aren't they so happy? Just wave their hands, and they'll dance. They'll dance from side to side, and put on show. They're happy. Oh, I'll make a point there now. Listen to me. These religionists are deliriously happy, but they can't tell you why. They can't tell you why. They can sing and dance, but they give no reason for their excitement. They see an enthusiastic crowd, and they just catch the affection of it. Yeah, take on. They can't tell you why. Now listen to me now. The joy and peace that is not created by substantial causes is nothing but, it's like light beer. It is foam and froth, and it soon leaves. Now listen to me. Unless you can tell me why you're happy. Listen to me now. Unless you can tell me why you're happy, you won't be long happy. If you can't tell me why. See, I'm saying all these things. I can get back here where I said, till we know. We know some things. Things that I know I've learned, he says, been revealed to me. And I enjoy them in my heart, and I know them. I know them, and they bring me joy unspeakable, full of glory. They help me over the rough spots in this life. Oh, out there when 40 days in the deep, down on that ship, and flannin' around the water, left for dead, and thrice whipped and 40 stripes. What in the name of God lifted him beyond these circumstances? I know he lives. I know the way to take. I know the way. Job said, he knows the way I take. That's what Job said. He knows. He knows the way I take. He knows which direction I'm going. He knows what's out there. He knows it. It says, he knows the way I take, and when I come forth, I shall be as gold. Now the blessing of that is what this man experienced. Now, when I know, now follow me, when I know that he knows, that's the victory. When I know that he knows, now I'm not I'm not saying when I know I'm able to quote that scripture. See? That's not what I'm saying. Just for I'm able to quote that scripture, I'm having trouble, and I turn to my wife and I say, Martha, we're down now, we haven't got anything. He knows where I take and where I come forth to sit down and be happy. No, I'm saying when I know that he knows. My God, and I rest in that. That affects my heart. That affects my conversation. That affects my reaction. That affects my whole life. I can face tomorrow. I can face it with my head up. And I don't have to be ashamed, because I know he knows. He knows about me. Whether anybody else does or not, he knows. And bless God, he not only knows, but he cares. He said, cast your cares upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Cares for him. All this is involved, brethren. Oh, listen. Unless you can tell me why you're happy, you won't be long happy. Now, you better be ready to give a reason for a hope that you have in him. Even when the hope seems to rise above all reason. Christian man, a believing man. House is built upon a firm foundation, like a tree, like a big sycamore tree that has deep, firm roots. Know the truth of God, who God is. Know something about God's eternal purpose as it's revealed here in the Scripture. Know something about the great mystery of godliness, that God became a man. God became a man, and the man Christ Jesus is a prince of God in human nature. Apart from sin. Know something about these things. Know something about what that man did. The man Christ Jesus. Now let me look at this. Now for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know. Oh, listen. He did not fear here. He did not fear that he himself would be dissolved. He didn't have the slightest doubt about the stability of his own person. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. Well, we're all, most of us here is past 30 years old. Some of you is around my age, in the 60s and 70s. It won't be long for us. Won't be long for us. This tabernacle here is going to shortly dissolve. It's going to dissipate. It's going to go back to where it come from. It's going to go to the dust. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and that's where we're going. It won't be long. I know it won't be long for me. Will I live 10 more years? Who could predict that? Will I live to be 80 years old? I doubt it. Seriously. I doubt it seriously. It won't be much longer for me. It may not be much longer for you. You ought to be interested in what I'm talking about here. You ought to be interested about this. This is for real. This is for real. This is where the rubber meets the road. Right here. This is for real. This is not froth and foam. This is something that'll stick with you. It's like cornbread and soup beans. Stay with your ribs. Give you steam 10 o'clock in the morning. Instead of eating a bologna sandwich, you won't have to have one. Got something that'll fortify you. He didn't fear for himself that he would be dissolved. He didn't have the slightest. He's talking about something here that is known among us by the name of death. That's what he's talking about. We refer to it as death. Death. But he calls it the dissolving of the earthly house of his tabernacle. Now, he does not say, if I were to be destroyed or if I were to be annihilated. No, he feels sure that he's perfectly safe. He's saying here, if our house is dissolved, we won't be undone. That's what he's saying. If we do die, we won't be undone. Sad faces at the funeral. Don't cry for me. Oh, why are you crying for me? I'm smiling. I'm going to see him. He said, beloved, now we're the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I read to you, Paul said, I know this. He said, I'm confident of this one thing, that I am willing rather to be absent from the body, because I'll be present with the Lord. Listen. He's saying here, if our house that we live in, this tabernacle, if it's dissolved, he said, we won't be undone. Won't be undone. If we were to lose this earthly tent in which we live in, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens. This earthly house can't in no wise compare with what we've got. He's saying the real man, the essential self, he says, out of harm's way. That's what he's saying. All he talks about here is the falling to pieces of a certain tabernacle or tent in which he at the present is living. That's what he's talking about. He says that this frail body that I live in is like unto a tent. You reckon he had any experience with what a tent was? He made tents. That was his occupation. He is a tent maker. So he knew something about tents. He knew they're frail. He knew that if a wind come up, there goes the tent. I was down there in Lexington, Kentucky one time, about 35, 40 years ago. There's a couple of evangelists came in there from Texas called the Jessup Brothers. Boy, they had big signs plastered in the paper and advertisement. Everyone's talking about the Jessup Brothers. So I said, well, I'm going to go down there and sneak around that tent and see what's going on. Big wind come up on my way down there and blowed that tent down. He said, it's the biggest tent in the world. Said, we got it from Barnum and Bailey, Ringling Brothers Circus. Biggest tent in the world. Wind come down, blowed the tent down, tore the organ, the pianos up, and scattered the chairs halfway over Lexington. I know something about them tents, too. They ain't very stable. No, sir. Ah, boy. Most people are scared about the future. Yet the apostle here says that the worst thing that can happen is not death. He said he compares it to pulling down of a tent. Just like you're taking down a tent. Didn't seem to be afraid of anything beyond that. And he was not absolutely sure that his body or his tent would be dissolved. He hoped that he might live to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that time and time again. He kind of had that expectation and that encouragement, boy. But he said he's willing to leave that in the hands of the Lord. Still he knew that the body he lived in was frail in itself. Tent maker, he knew that. He compared it to a house. He said that this body is like this tent. The tent's frail. This body's frail. A breath of foul air will poison us and send us out into eternity. He's telling us, what do you think the body's made out of? The body's not made out of some structural steel or aluminum. The body is made out of dust. That's where it came from. God formed a picture here in the dust, an image in the dust, and he breathed into the nostril that image, and that image became a living soul. We came from the dust, and we're going to go back to the dust. And someone said to me one time, said, what you're saying is that your father was Adam, and he came from the dust, and he said, where did the dust come from? He said, if the dust came from nowhere, he said, He knew that his tent, if it was to be overthrown, he would not be without a home. He knew, he said, now if it's overthrown, if this tabernacle is dissipated, dissolved, this tent's blown down, I still got a home. I still got a home. I still got a home. I may lose everything else, but I still got a home. I still got a place to go. My Father welcomes me in his house. I got a place to go. Come hell or high water, hey, I still got a house. I got a home. Belongs to my Father. But he won't turn me away. Huh? He'll say, welcome, son. Glad to see you. Oh, listen. Listen to what it said. Listen. What if you had a camp? What if you was out there camping over here in this big park over there? And you had your tent up, fancy tent, nylon tent, staked in there. You're sitting around the campfire there and you had your little fire going, you're roasting your marshmallows and sitting there shooting the breeze. And a big wind come up. Someone said to you, hey, the wind's blowing pretty hard, gonna blow your tent away. Wouldn't it be nice if you'd be able to say, well, that's all right. I just got a house over there. I'll just go over there. Why? If it blows down, all I got to do is just follow the path right down, and there's my house. See? I'll go over there. Listen. Paul knew he had a Father in heaven. He knew something about sonship. He had the spirit of sonship. He passed from death unto life. God visited him in the person of his Son on the road to Damascus. And the Lord Jesus said to him, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he had an intimate acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, he said, in my Father's house are many houses, many mansions. Our Lord said, if I go away, he said, I prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many houses, many mansions. And he said, I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again. And where I am, there you may be. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Is that what he said? Oh, Paul knew that, didn't he? He learned that, didn't he? What did he learn? He learned that his father had a house. And he learned that this house that he lived in was subject to be torn down. And he learned that if it's torn down, I won't be undone, because I can always go to my Father's house. Oh, I like that. I can still go to my Father's house. Oh, you ought to like it too. He had a Father. He is sure that if he ever lost his tent, I like this. He is sure that if he ever lost his tent, he'd be welcome in his Father's house above. If you ever lose your tent, and you will, and you know him, whom to know is life eternal, you'll be welcome in your Father's house. And you'll be confident about these things. You can enjoy these things while you're here. And oh, you can get up in the morning and stand straight like a 10-foot tall. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Listen, how do your children know that if they were ever in need of a place to stay, that they can always come home to you? How'd they know that? They learned that in school? They got an instinct, didn't they? Sonship, daughtership, that's where it comes from. Yeah. Listen to me. Your sons and daughters out there, what if the house is burned down? Well, they could always say, well, we haven't got anything left. We can't rent an apartment. No place to go. But we're always welcome. We're always welcome in our Father's house, see? That's instinct, sonship, daughtership. Just as a chicken runs under the mother hen without needing to be trained. She'll have trained that little chicken. Just as soon as something happens, he runs right there and gets right under his mother's wing. Instinct, isn't it? It's instinct with Paul. See? He has a son. His father had a house. And he said, I've always got a home. I've always got a home. He said, we have a building of God. He said, it's a building of God. God built it. He said, it's a house. He said, it's not made with hands. He said, it's eternal in the heavens. And he said, that makes me happy. Oh, listen. Paul knew that when he died, there was a paradise prepared. You know, I'll quit by saying this. Old Paul locked up a story of his experience for 15 years, never told a soul about it. Never told nobody about it. He locked it up. And one reason why he can say what he's saying here now, he's going to unlock that safe, that casket holds that story. Remember that story he told? He said he knew a man about 15 years ago. He said, whether in the body or out of the body, he said, I don't know. But he said that man was lifted up into the third heavens, and he's seen things up there and experienced things up there that he said he couldn't even tell to you down. But he unlocked it right here. Unlocked it. He said, I'm going to tell you fellas about it here. He said, we know. He said, I know. He said, God revealed this to me. He said, I didn't learn it from anybody. I didn't get it out of a third grade book, or I didn't go to the seminary. I didn't go there to that Bible school. But he said, that God revealed this to me. And he said, I know. If this body here, this temporary abode that my soul's in, if this body is dissipated and destroyed and falls down and breaks up and cracks up, and he said, my soul has no place to live in this body, he said, I know. My Father has a house in heaven. I know. My Father has a house in heaven, and I know I'm welcome. And so I'm happy. And I worship God in the enjoyment of my happiness. And I hope you will too.